I'd settle with me, man.
And then it was the formation of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, it says he's not online, but it's calling him, so fuck, I don't know.
There he is, a little drunk ass online.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, Tony. Mr. Toppy.
Hello. Hey, hey, guys. It's going all right. How the hell are you?
All right, let's get y'all guys going here, man. I'm fucking around with y'all.
Doing great. You got me, Jeffrey, and Guy on the phone. It's 4 a.m. there, right?
Well, that's it. As long as you can hear me, all right. That's the main thing. And here I am, and it's Jeffrey and Guy. Good evening. Good evening from the UK, boys. I trust you can hear me okay.
Hey, guys.
We haven't started yet, so...
I'm taking myself out of the queue right now, and you got about a minute. You'll hear y'all's music coming out. Probably about
all right, you'll hear the beauty.
Hey, Tony, this is Guy.
Definitely try to be careful so we don't get arrested.
Hey, Tony, it's Guy.
Now, Tony.
Hi, Todd. I can hear you.
All right,
I can
man.
Hear you good.
Yeah,
loud
you sound,
and clear.
You sound great.
Excellent. Oh, that's excellent.
Right.
You have a very sexy voice.
Yeah, I'm getting sitting here. I'm getting a semi sitting over here, man.
Very distinguished.
Oh, damn.
Where's the voodoo music, baby? Come on, I need the voodoo music.
I think Joe's drunk. Joe's drunk. There we go.
Actually dancing. I'm actually dancing. Welcome to the Church of Mavis. We're live with Tony Topping from the UK. How's everyone doing? How's your voodoo hoodoo doing?
Yes, good. Good evening, Jeffrey and Guy. Can you hear me fine? Am I coming through loud and clear?
You're loud and clear.
You're like a divine crystal clear manna from the heavens, dude.
It's nice to be on your program. Nice to be with you guys. Thanking you for having me on the program. It's 4 o'clock here in the morning, so we're a bit, we've got the Jack Daniels in hand, and, we're good to go.
You'll fit right in, my friend.
I hope so. I really hope so. You've had some great guests on your program. You've come a long way, haven't you, since your early beginnings? And I think you've courted controversy as well, haven't you, you guys on Mavis? So it's great to be on your program.
For being around about half a year, we've definitely made our jaw drops, and I still can hardly believe how far we've come in such a short period of time.
Yeah, it's good. It really is. Good, and I don't know where you want to begin. Where we just sat in the pub, are we having a beer? Is that the idea? I think that's probably the format you're working to, isn't it? I'm sure that's the thing to do. Yeah, and so there you go. So I don't know where you want me to start, guys. Well, you want me to give it a quick intro as to who I am and where I've been and all that kind of thing, yeah?
Let's go to the beginning.
Well, I mean, it started in... gracious me, it started in early childhood for me. From the age of two, I had very strange paranormal goings on. I had people, I remember at 2 years age, screaming at my father, telling him that there was people walking through a wall. Now, if you can imagine at the age of two, trying to tell somebody that there's somebody walking through the wall was a bit difficult. And I remember distinctly pointing and screaming my head off And my father's going, no, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Don't worry about it. And put me back in my cot. And nobody never, you know, nothing ever come of it, as it were, from my father anyway. Although my father was a healer. I didn't get on with him. I didn't get on with my father in some respects, but he was a healer, and the healing side of it ran in our family. I mean, he brought a cat back from the dead, you know, as well as cure somebody's neuralgia. Yeah. Or if I was naughty, it'd give me paralyzing headaches, you know, real nasty headaches. So psyche dykiness ran in our family, as it were. And little would I know that from in the years ahead that I'd go through a baptism of fire, the like of which, well, if anybody would have told me before I was born that this is what's going to happen, I would have said no, thank you, you know, and kindly not bothered. And so it began from there, and round about 7 to 8 years of age, I started having strange paranormal goings on. Specifically, I was kind of like having strange dreams even at a young age, and was being woken up by all manner of crazy goings on. I remember at the age of 12, I think it was 12, I ended up awoken from demonic laughter in my bedroom, you know, at the age of 12. Terrifying it was, actual laughter in my room. It was, you know, and I dabbled in the occults. I remember I cast a love spell, actually, as I remember, when I started dabbling in the occult. I cast this love spell. We got all the instructions there, guys, you know, how to cast this love spell. And I cast it on this dazzling redhead who I fancied the backside of. And it ended up backfiring, and it worked, but it didn't. So I cast the spell, and the wrong girl turned up asking me if I would go on a date with her. So it worked, but it didn't, you know?
Tony, exactly. You are just totally – me and you are like almost have the exact same things happen to us. I did the same thing. The same thing with a love spell. Touch of lust, turn to me, your body to mine, your lust to me, make you mine. And you had to do it 3 times. In fact, I got it. I got it out of a Necronomicon. You know, somebody had a book of spells, and they just called it Necronomicon. That's where I got that from.
It's very strange, because as he was telling that story, I started to remember my childhood, and a lot of my experiences definitely revolved around to seeing the offshoot from playing around with the occult like a moron.
Yeah, indeed. It's certainly the path to nowhere that offers everything and leads to nothing, as I discovered, because later on I found in later years that I could deal with people's very complex paranormal problems, or very complex to do with UFOs and all that kind of I could really, but for now we're kind of like at a young age, and we're gearing up for all this, and God only knows what's happening, and I found that the occult was leading nowhere pretty quickly, and I became a very troubled teenager. It was a candle spell, and it backfired horrifically, and I became a very troubled teenager indeed, trying to find my way through life. I recently did a Channel 4 program 2 years ago, and was talking about these paranormal goings on. And a guy called, Professor, oh, gracious bloody me, he's from Goldsmiths College, guys. Anyway, he discredits the paranormal. He doesn't discredit it, but he kind of, like, says that it doesn't exist, blah, blah. And they wheeled him on shortly after I'd said about all my strange goings on. They promptly wheeled him on and said it was a product of borderline personality disorder, it was a product of this, it was a product of that. Anything but the paranormal, anything but the reality around us isn't as it appears, which I think is what you find is the drive behind our society today, especially in pop videos and pop music, where we've got occult symbolism leaking through in pop videos and all that kind of thing. So the occult was all around me at that age, and I ended up going to a stage school in London. I ended up going to one of the top stage schools to train to be an actor and a dancer, and nothing really much happened there. Nothing really happened of any interest until about really 1992, when I was coming back from rehearsal, and I was kind of like I was heading across the garden to the house, and all of a sudden this UFO appears over the house like something out of Close Encounters, all lights flash, 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 and off. And I'm thinking, that wasn't there. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. So the mind kind of like does mental somersaults, wondering what the hell it's seen. Has it seen it or hasn't it? And I wandered around for days thinking, did I really see that? Did I really see a UFO appear over the roof for a split second and then appear and then disappear? And the answer is yes, I did. And little would I know that probably from about 1996 onwards, I'd start having strange goings on. And little would I know that in 1999, my life would change like some sort of Jason Bourne movie. It was absolutely unbelievable what was to come. And I could never predict it in a million years, guys, you know. So that's really the story today. And I began being chased down the street by UFOs, filmed by unmarked helicopters, being awoken from sleep all hours, subjected to high-tech electronic torture by an unknown government agency, whoever they might be. And that's the controversial rub of my experiences. A lot of people may not want that, but certain people may not want those experiences to be in the public domain. But that's basically me in a nutshell. And I've had extreme experiences that would put a man in a straitjacket.
So, who would you think? Why would somebody be harassing you with like a mind weapon or something like that? Why are helicopters flying around you in your house and stuff?
This is absolutely correct. Why, indeed? Well, what happened is in 1996, I started having these. I lived in London, and I was walking down the street. We'll have to begin at the beginning, I think. So in 1996, I'm walking down the street in London in a place called Parade Street, which is near Paddington. And what happened there was I'm kind of like walking down the street, and I look up into the air, and there, as clear as day, is this bright ball of light, like a car headlight. And what happens is it flies in from the right, very, very dim light, and expands like a car headlight, very, very bright, and then expands off again as if it's going to crash into a block of flats. But it doesn't. It disappears. Just disappears into thin air. And I started having strange dreams that I could not understand. Very strange dreams, and I couldn't understand it at all. And when I moved into, I became in a homeless situation. I ended up on somebody's floor in a house in Orpington, in a place called St. Mary Cray. And I was being continually buzzed by these objects. They were passing high over the property at speed. They were coming in very high, and they were kind of like just there. And there was just some very strange goings on that I couldn't understand, including the dog we were looking after that would go berserk, absolutely berserk, you know, in the middle of the room and stand there thinking something was there. As well as the numerous things of somebody stood over me in my friend's flat, tutting at me, looking down at me and tutting on me, and visions of other planets and star systems, and oh, it was absolutely unbelievable. And it ended up with me moving back to Yorkshire in 96, and as a result of that, in July 1996, I was stood outside my house in the back garden. It's at that point that we see these two balls of light flying over the house and merge as one. And they give off this orange flash. It woke up my mother, this big orange flash, and it woke my mother up, who's also had some UFO experiences. It woke her up, and it ended up with me being very shocked because a black kind of shape or object shot to my right, and I heard this voice say, "Hello." And that's when all kind of like, you know, that's when we're now gearing up to the question you're asking about how come somebody's filming me, chasing me. So somebody somewhere was coming in over the house as UFOs. These UFO objects were coming in. I put up a website on the internet, and a guy who used to work for Army Intelligence in Northern Ireland, I was telling him about all this, and he was saying, you put up a website on the internet, you just don't know who's going to come out the woodwork. And sure enough, I put up this website on the internet about UFOs. It was a load of bollocks, actually. It really was crap. I assumed that I knew what I was talking about. I assumed that I knew what these objects were and where they'd come from, and I was asking for trouble. And I assumed all this and put it. And in 1999, I put up my internet website, and I said this about the UFOs I was filming and the other about them. I even uploaded footage to my website. And, of course, somebody somewhere, I think two things happened. Either one, somebody somewhere thought, this guy's a freak. He's ideal for what we want for our special classified project. Or this guy has some UFO goings on, we need to investigate what they are. And I think it's a combination of the two. So what we had is somebody out there was actually looking for somebody that would be a guinea pig for the for their test project. And as it turned out, they probably also had no idea what they were getting involved with me, because, my God, in the years ahead, you know, all hell would continue to break loose. And so the story of the UFO that I filmed in 1999 and the military helicopter begins. And there you go, guys. That's where we're up to so far.
There was a guy who was, this was a few years ago, on I discovered him on JeffRinks.com, actually. He was, and he was from United Kingdom, too. He was he had a telescope, and he had a special, it was just a digital camera that he rigged, and he started taking all sorts of pictures of stuff that's, you know, orbiting the planet. And he started finding all these really strange craft up there, and then he starts putting it out on rents, and then all of a sudden he's got helicopters flying over his house, and he's taking pictures. I mean, that's, it's happening, unless he went somewhere else and took it. But, you know, it was, they just came after him, man, and it was weird. I mean, these were not like these were structured craft. They weren't like satellites or space lab or something like that. They were, I was like, holy crap, look at this, you know. And yeah, they were. He started getting followed and everything else, man.
This is in Oaking. When I had my UFO experiences at my house in Georgia, there was a specific time where there's no doubt in my mind some type of outside agency came to investigate, and somehow they knew that that place was having high UFO activity around my home. And at that time, I was having high activity around my home, but it was like this organization picked it up somehow with some kind of technology and sent out this black helicopter with no noise whatsoever, lowered above my house with a man in a full uniform of some kind of aircraft uniform inside the cockpit. He looked down and waved at me and then shot off straight in the air, and it made no noise. So I do believe there are definitely agencies out there in our country and yours that investigate this, and they go out to hot spots and Lord knows what else they do, and we're getting into that apparently.
Yeah, indeed, sir. The current U.S. administration, the current U.S. military is very jumpy indeed about the UFO situation, and it dates from probably when the Manhattan Project was actually happening, and the and also what was known as the UFO Air War of 1950, whereby aircraft were being shot out of the sky by UFOs. I mean, there's one story of a Korean air ace who was flying along. Are you familiar with the it's funny, but it isn't. It's like a black comedy, all this. It's like some macabre black comedy. Are you familiar with the cartoon with, is it Coyote and Roadrunner? Are you
yeah.
familiar with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you imagine, I think it's Roadrunner who'll chase the coyote into the middle of a cliff and drop. You know, he'll stand there, look at the screen and go, oh my God, I'm in thin air, and fall. Well, what happened to this guy, seemingly, according to his account, is he's flying along in his Sabre, what were the Fairchilds? Starlight fighters, F-60. Yeah, there were Starlight fighters, and what the Yanks were doing, these UFOs were coming in. They weren't sure, I'm not sure who fired first, but they were, what had happened was these UFOs were shooting down aircraft, and so they were sending up jets in response to them, and it's quite well documented in the 1950s. Yeah, and what would happen is the jets would fire these missiles, salvos of about 5 to 12 at a time, and hope for the best that they would hit a UFO. And this air ace recalls that he's flying along, he says, and next minute he knows there's a UFO suddenly comes alongside him, disintegrates all the wings of the aircraft and all the tailplane and everything. So he's sat there like Wildly Coyote with the joystick, the chair and the panel and nothing else in midair. And he's kind of like, yeah, and it's a black comedy, and he's kind of like wondering what the fuck is going to happen here, pardon my language. He's wondering what the hell's going to go next. He pulls the ejector seat, and this is a Korean air ace. So the kind of like, we'll probably go into this as we progress about why, having been attacked on two occasions by UFO objects, as to why that might be happening, and why we've got to be very careful, I feel, where we go with this argument that all UFOs are hostile and all this kind of thing. I think it's an issue that needs to be addressed and certainly looked at, I think, before any form of disclosure would take place. But for me, I mean, it began in 1999 where this UFO were persistently coming over the house. And it was a bit of a shocker, because what would happen is the first one I filmed was a UFO that would come in over the house. It looked like a triangle object, and it would be passed by two other kind of illuminated objects that I would call Tinkerbells. It was like something out of the film The Abyss. These two objects would go flying past it, and they were illuminated. There was a strange, over the years, with watching these UFOs and filming them, I've observed that there's something very bizarre going on in that, ten a penny, to coin the British phrase, always all the time, these little dots of light would turn up flying round, and you'd think, I'd be thinking, oh, it's a UFO, oh, this is wonderful, oh, they're here, oh, the Space Brothers are here, and they ain't that at all. They certainly aren't. And what would happen is that what I was observing was probably something that was inner terrestrial of the Earth. They were flying around, these dots of light, and they too were also observing what I might be filming. It was a very complex scenario, and still is. It's very complicated what's happening. And what would happen is these kind of other type of Tinkerbell objects would sometimes come in and shoo them off, would actually make them go away. And there was an incident, one of the first helicopter incidents that happened to me, which is on my YouTube page, is when I'm actually filming one of these objects, and I'm going, I'm actually filming it, and it's early UFO footage of mine, and I pretend to know what I'm talking about.
Hey,
you know?
Hey, Tony, yeah? Real quick, were you out in the field?
Oh no, I was in my back garden. No, I was in my back garden on this occasion. I was in my back garden. When I've been attacked, I've been out in a field. When I was attacked the second time, I was walking home from work, believe it or not.
Because I've seen that footage, or some footage of a light over like a field, and the helicopter's trying to chase it. And it's like, it'll like go for a while and the helicopter chase it, and all of a sudden it'll turn around and come at the helicopter, and it's backing up. It's going backwards. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's absolutely crazy, and I think what is even more worrying is because it's the unknown. It's not so much the what these objects are capable of on the helicopter, but what these objects are capable of in terms of invading the mind. You know, in terms of the mind, that sort of thing. It's as if some form of very low frequency emission is used by them to basically scare you shitless when they're doing their old you know, keep it quiet, shut up, we don't want to know kind of thing. This planet is controlled by a very unknown force that is at work. It's actually controlled, and I've witnessed it on numerous occasions, having the extreme experiences that I've had, and it's not been easy for me, and God knows why I'm having them. I still can't get to the bottom of why I'm having these extreme paranormal experiences.
Have these experiences with humans or an outside agent, and they actually interact with you, what do they say to you? What do they communicate to you at all? Do they say anything during
the event? Yeah, they do, and they have done, and they're very elusive. The kind of the people behind the UFOs, Jeffrey, will say the minimum to me, more or less being navigated to a certain agenda. I'm being kind of navigated to an agenda. I hold a deck of cards. I don't know what they are, but they do kind of thing. So I've had a scenario where they've definitely communicated in many ways to me. But basically, it's all a very fundamental kindergarten level. There's nothing spectacular in my communication with them. There's nothing earth-shattering other than the fact that they are there. They've identified themselves as being from other star systems. They've identified themselves as being watchful of what goes on the planet. They've identified the fact of the activities of North Korea and China. Can you believe that? That they've kind of like watched very carefully what is happening, but they say the minimal. So there's nothing spectacular for me about the Space Brothers, but what there is me being caught up in a situation and being led by them. It's like a drip, drip, drip of a tap. So that it's kind of like information is being dripped. I do know that some of them are dimensional, and I do know that some of them are forward in time of the human race. So you've effectively time travelled and been put back again. And it's kind of like that is freaky, because then you're left with all the strange paranormal goings on that have resulted in that. It's as if the soul, the human soul itself, has crossed a boundary into another world and has been put back again. which is what has happened. And as a result of that, somehow it's past levels of, let's say, spirit and levels of time and space that we don't understand and has been put back again. And with that comes all kinds of associated problems. Genuine UFO contact and genuine contact with aliens is far removed from these books you see about the Space Brothers. And, you know, I've got no spectacular equation to write. I've got nothing like that. But what I have got is the objects coming over, me being chased, and me. The first alien I ever saw was actually, I was asleep at the time. Have you ever seen the film Inception? Have you seen it at all?
No, I haven't seen it.
If you've seen the film Inception, it gives a very interesting kind of take on how they're communicating. It's subconscious. It's many levels deep. And you would not mistake it. You would know about it. When they're here, you know about it. There's no mistaking them. You definitely know that it's them. And they kind of like, basically what they're basically saying is that, you know, you're creating a bit of a mess for yourself is what they're saying to me. There's a bit of dysfunctional behavior going on, but we're still guiding you. We're still guiding you through all this to a specific goal and agenda, which I think is obviously to learn more about them. And at first I actually thought that it was, and there's no easy way of saying this. At first, I actually thought it was to do with one of their breeding programs. One of these kind of entities or people have an actual breeding program. They have an actual involvement in kind of like becoming more like us, and that appears to be what I'm involved in. But that could be complete hearsay. I have no evidence to back that up because they're elusive. What we have got, what the elephant in the room is the helicopters and the UFOs flying over, and my accusations of kind of mind control. And the oppression of the attempted control of my mind, having your mind stolen, which I think are very important issues that may need to be talked about with you. So there you go.
Have any of the government agencies, the actual humans that are possibly in the black helicopters, approached you in any manner?
Yes, they have. They have approached me on various occasions, including sending text messages to me. Or once they sent a text message to me, because we'll go down the avenue. Do you know a guy called Lynn Buchanan? A remote viewer with the U.S. Army. You might not be familiar with him, but the U.S. Army did a program of remote viewing, and Lynn Buchanan was one of the people who was involved in that. When he was with NATO in the 1980s, and he was acutely psychic. In fact, he was highly sensitive. And there was a scenario happened whereby Lynn had actually brought down the whole of NATO's computer network. So the story goes, by the power of thought alone, and it also disabled some of the Russian stuff. So it says in his autobiography. Now, what happened there was he was then recruited by one of the top guys who was at Stubblebine, I think it was, one of the US generals, to be part of a paranormal unit. And what happens is that's all to do with, it goes something beyond the occult when you discover that true power does not lie in any occult, the true power is within. And as Lynn Buchanan says, we human beings, when they realize this, are as powerful as gods. And power, manifestation of power, is something that has consequences, as Lynn discovered and as I discovered. And on this particular day, I was very, very angry, very, very angry indeed. And I was kind of like playing with this power. We'll just say it's a long story, but I was playing with it and I was focusing it in areas that I really shouldn't have done. And as a result of that, something happened. With it, something actually happened. And as a result of that, I got a text message from I'm not sure who. But it was definitely a text message that could not be traced that said precisely what I'd done and not for me to do it again, please. It was probably British because it had a please on the end of it. So somebody somewhere was definitely monitoring what was going on, an unknown agency, yeah, definitely so. And then there was the incidents, of course, with the absolute tosser who is kind of like, if you, I use films, guys, I hope you don't mind, but I'm just using films as kind of like a reference point to work from it, especially the Bourne films, the Jason Bourne films. Now, because he was subjected in the Bourne trilogy, and I'm a big fan of the author Robert Ludlum, he was subjected to what was, have you seen the Bourne movies, Jason, the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Ultimatum? Well, he was subjected to a top secret classified project called Treadstone, and Treadstone was obviously about mind control. Now, I've always felt that I have been subjected to a similar type of thing here in the UK that's like Treadstone, but not quite as violent as you see in the films. But this there was somebody, there was a group of people behind this. And what happened in January 2001, I'm maybe jumping the story here slightly, but in January 2001, I was brutally attacked by what could be described as a mind-invasive weapon, an absolute brutal mind-invasive weapon. And what would happen is it was like something out of Hitchcock's The Birds, with somebody stabbing you with a knife and the music to go with it. But if you can imagine that in the epicenter of your consciousness and somebody's doing that in your skull, and their intent is to harm you with this technology, and they really are going for it. And I woke up thinking that I was going to die. I actually woke up thinking I was going to die. And it was a group of people who are behind all this, and they were testing non-lethal weapons on me. They were definitely doing so. I've reasoned, and I will not withdraw the allegations that I think as a result they'll lock me in the lunatic asylum at the way it's going at the moment. I'm sure they will, but I will not withdraw the allegations.
Hey, Tony. Yeah. You know, in the news, you just recently, it was a couple days ago where they had, troops stormed a pirate ship and, you know, nobody, no fires, no, you know, guns were shot or anything like that. They are actually using those weapons right now. They're on those ships. I read it. It was like on CNN that they're using these non-lethal weapons. And, yes. I mean, that's probably how they did that. They come up on them and they just, it's a gun. It's a mounted gun. And they use it. I mean, it's out. They're using it. You know, it's just, they're kind of testing it in live action now. It's not something where they're taking it into Iraq or Afghanistan or something like that, but they are using them. And it just totally stops them from doing whatever they're doing. You know, they want to shoot a gun.
This is absolutely right. And the thing is that it's leading. I'm kind of. But what happened is with this gentleman, what he was doing, gentleman, if you could call him that. I mean, I'd call him an absolute fucking wanker. But anyway, this guy who was. It's not very British of me, is it? So am I allowed to swear on your program?
I'm telling Joe to kill the radio if it's on.
Oh, you're okay. Oh, all right. Well, sorry about that.
Before it started.
Yeah, we better edit it, haven't we? I'm sorry, it gets me so angry because what happened was these clowns were a group of people who were testing something. They were definitely testing a non-lethal weapon. And what would happen is this guy in particular would actually do all kinds of things. I'd be asleep, and at 4 a.m, you'd get an alarm bell ringing in your head. Now, they're covered very nicely because what I'm telling you, I'm a schizophrenic. I'm not, but what they're saying is, what they can say is, well, this is just schizophrenia. You're hearing something in your head. This is not schizophrenia. This is a precise weapons-delivered artificial system that they were testing on me. And they were doing all kinds of experimentation, including waking me up at 3 and 4 a.m, shouting things at me, gunfire at me, and also what was the most sinister was artificial effects of going to the toilet while asleep, which was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. Words cannot describe their brutality. And the kind of the Bourne films reflect this brutal mindset that is there with them, this psychopathic mindset. You have to be a psychopath to do these kind of things, and that's what he was doing. And so what would happen was I would twig that this is a system that's used some sort of radio delivery. It's got some kind of radio delivery to it. I know that. So it's therefore got a source and it's got an origin. And the giveaway to this happened in a pub, of all places. And what was happening was this professional clown was waking me up to go to the toilet. It was horrifying, guys. You've never experienced anything like it, but you had an artificial mind weapon that was controlling you and that was waking you up to go to the toilet at all hours. And it was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. And what happened was that the guy in question who was doing this, and you could clearly see him, don't ask me how, because you could see him. It was unbelievable. You could actually see him. See him doing this. You could see him speak to you. You could see who he was. It was bizarre, really was.
Was he an alien dude or like a human government jerk off dude?
I would say he was a human dude, most definitely. And what would happen is, Jeffrey, is he came into this pub one particular evening with this clown of a woman. Although clown is maybe the wrong word, because they're intelligent people. They know what they're doing and their tracks are covered. And he came into the pub and I knew it was him. But don't ask me how, because I've no explanation as to how I knew it was him, but it was him. Because I'd been dreaming about him, I've kept seeing him in sleep continually as if I'd been navigated towards this man. And sure enough, he came into the pub with this other woman. He ordered a glass of Coke, and he sat back and observed me. And I walked past him, and he went to this other woman. I see he is off to the toilet again. That's all he said to her as I walked past him. I see he is off to the toilet again. Now, only he and I would know that. Only he would know what he said. He would only know that. He knew what he was doing, so he would only know what was going on. And this woman nodded in agreement. Now, looking back, I'm wondering why he never followed me into the loo, because this guy could have been a very dangerous man. So I came back out again, and we had the woman then join in the action. And what happened is, it was very bizarre, because what happened is this woman... There's a mirror in the pub. Near the doorway, this woman walked towards this mirror and we'd kind of like leaned backwards with one eye, actually highlighted one eye. It's all symbolic bullshit with one eye, and said to this other guy, "Why isn't Tony speaking to us?" Her exact words. And this guy said, I've no idea. Come on, let's go." And they went out of the pub. And that was an actual incident that happened in this pub with them. And the brutality and the torture that they subjected me to with this technology was absolutely unbelievable. Words cannot begin to describe it. It really was. If you could imagine your mind being stolen from you, that's what it was all about. And I thought I was in an all-out war with these people. I started ringing facilities near me. I rang the NSA at Fort Meade. It was hilarious, just to see what would happen. I actually rang the National Security Agency at Fort Meade, picked up the phone and told them I was being harassed. It was funny, to say the least. It was like a macabre comedy. It was funny. Really was. So
what is your final observation, conclusion that you've come to, just from hearing your story? And I've heard some of your story before, but definitely getting it in a bigger dose tonight on the show, of course.
Of course, yeah.
It seems like you were attracting UFOs since you were a child, and then somehow this agency took note of it and decided to find out a lot more about you, and it got crazy.
Yeah, that's basically the gist of it, and it really did. I mean, it really did get crazy. I mean, some of the stuff they did to me is unrepeatable on a radio program like this. But believe me, they absolutely hammered me and hammered me hard.
They could have been doing stuff with your dad, and it could have been a multi-generational thing.
Yes, my father really, the one thing, if you're talking cloak and daggers, my father said to me that he was, when he was serving in Austria in the army, he was approached by the KGB, of all people. I've no idea why, but they actually approached him when he was in Austria, according to my father. But my father was having some strange goings on as well. These people are a very evil guy, and, Jeffrey, they are. They're very evil, and it's beyond evil. It's a human matrix. It transcends what we would know as the occult into something else. I think so. Yeah, it does. It's beyond comprehension.
Yeah, we're cattle to them. I mean, we're not. It's like, you know, if you believe in the the higher government that, you know, the president doesn't even really know or can control about. We are not a part of that. We're a completely different reality, and they live a completely different reality, and they don't have to worry about the things that we have to worry about. And, you know, so we're just cattle. We're just slabs of meat. We're just, lab rats is what we are. We're lab rats. So they can, And they're trained that way. They're trained to think of you that way, so they don't have empathy towards you or anything like that. I mean that's how the Japanese got their people to do all the horrible things they did in the wars, is because during their boot camp was they basically got the humanity beaten out of them. So they were no longer, you know what I mean? So they could do the horrible things to people. So those are the type of people you're dealing with. So, you know, your pain and anything like that just really doesn't mean anything. You're just, you know.
No. I mean, the theme was constantly from them. The theme was shut up about UFOs. The theme was that they were the unelected police force. They were the silence. They called themselves the police of the silence. They actually said, "We are the police of the silence." And the silence being the situation regarding UFOs, which is something we can very nicely come into, guys, because obviously there was another UFO contactee out there called Alec Newald. I don't know whether you've heard of Alec Newald, but me and Mr. Pope, Nick Pope, who was recently on your program, I had some fun with him. It's nothing. I mean, I like Nick Pope very much, actually, and the problem that I'm going to explain can be sorted out over a beer. I'm absolutely, because a lot of people accuse Nick Pope of him working for the government and this, that, and the other. And really, after what I've seen, he's just not it. He's just, you know, it's just
he
after
did.
What I've. He, you know, the people accuse him of working. He did work for the government, of course, but now he's left the government. I beg your pardon.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, he did. And now he's left the government. All kinds of people are accusing him, but particularly this guy Alec Newald, who you guys may not have heard of, and a lot of people haven't heard of, was on the way to Auckland in New Zealand after having a divorce. And what happened with him driving down the road to Auckland? Next minute he says that he's suddenly, all hell breaks loose and he ends up out of his body. He says that he's floating out of his body and he thought that he was dead. He thought that he was a ghost and he'd been in a car accident. And he said in the distance he could see these three little kind of ghostly dots moving towards him. And he was wondering what they were. And as they came closer and closer, he discovered that they were not ghosts. These were, in fact, people. They were, in fact, aliens. And there was three of them. And one was like what he could describe as an elder. To cut the long story short, he then appears back in Auckland again. Well, he appears in the middle of nowhere. And 10 days have elapsed. He doesn't know where he's gone. Next minute he knows he's got people with suits knocking on his door, asking if they can confiscate his car, because it's been subjected to high-power electrical charges. So, and this was Alec Newald. And what happened with Alec was he was taken to what he describes as an extraterrestrial civilization for about 10 days, a race of people that was on the reverse of our matter. They were like in a world of antimatter. They were on the reverse of our world. And they explained to him that the government had been aware, either your government or mine, that the governments had been aware since about the 1950s of their presence, and that they were trying to establish a base on our world because their world was dying. And he was put into, like, they did a lot of tests on him to see if he could replicate with one of them, because they were wanting to become more like us, more like solid matter beings instead of the world of antimatter, to put it very simply. Upon his return, he actually gets a knock at the door from people who identify themselves as being from the Australian Ministry of Defence Science and what is called the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is a very powerful organisation. Is actually the policy arm of the monarchy. It's a very powerful organisation. And they were wanting to ask him questions, and as I say, they wanted to confiscate his car. And they're not nice people. And I have reason to suspect that they are the same people that I've come across. And what happened was I was on Talk Sport, a national radio station. It was due to go on air. What had happened was the producer said, "Can you come on and explain this audio clip of Alec Newald being harassed?" And on my YouTube page, there's an actual audio clip of Alec explaining what had happened to him, explaining that he'd been framed and that he'd been actually put in prison. So what happened was that didn't go according to plan. Round about five to the hour, Nick, I'm there, and I'm assuming that I'm going on air to explain this. I discovered that Nick Pope is actually on the programme, which is fair enough. And around about five to the hour, Ian Collins, the presenter, says to Nick Pope, "What do you want to do with this? Hear this clip, Nick. Five to the hour, this is. Hear this clip, Nick. What do you think of this?" And Alec explained what had been going on the audio clip that I have supplied, and Nick Pope thoroughly debunks it, absolutely, completely debunks it, says that the guy is a Walter Mitty character, this, that, and the other, that it's the world of fantasy, that these things don't go on. This is not how the intelligence services work. Well, it is how the intelligence services work. It is what goes on. And so, you know, it goes to show, I don't think Nick was intentionally covering up something. I think it's a fine example of how we are our own police, how we kind of like imprison ourselves with our own media. And it was a fine example of it. And I was very annoyed with him about it, and still am. I've yet to have a chat with him about it, because he'd obviously not studied the material nor the story. And it was easier to debunk it rather than to follow it through. It's very serious. With some of us who have experienced UFO contact, we are being harassed. We are being tortured, you know, and it's not on. It really isn't.
You know, it's kind of strange, Tony, because I've said this on other shows, but it's like each person's experiences are different in this genre. I mean, nobody has the same things happening to them. You know what I'm saying? So it's it's like. They just kind of pick and choose. And another thing, I mean, Nick Pope was working in the intelligence agency of the known government. Okay, he wasn't working in in that upper echelon, or I don't even know if it exists. Yeah, whatever. You know the Bilderbergs or whatever, the David Icke territory stuff. So that's why he's very, you know. I'm an intelligence guy. I know what goes on, yada, yada. But,
Could still be going on and he not know it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's... I'm the same way. I'm kind of... It's kind of a territorial thing with him. He's like, oh, I've been in this for all this time, you know, and I know what goes on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, indeed. He doesn't... He'd be absolutely horrified if he'd probably consider me... A bit of a fantasist, you know, and all that kind of thing. But unfortunately, I wish it was, because it would make my job easier. I wish that I could be labelled. I wish that it was all a dream, or it was all the work of me being a complete and total nutcase. But the elephant in the room is always my UFO footage and the helicopters that filmed me and all the strange goings on associated with it, you know.
You know, there's a haunting parallel to your story, too, with mine a little bit, as far as the funny part is, it seems like I was having intense UFO activity, then it's like some kind of agency came out to check it out, but I guess I didn't make the grade like you did, apparently, and they left me alone.
Well,
screwed up. Forget that guy.
Well, this is it. You see, they're extremely jumpy. This agency, as they call it. I mean, some clown sent me an email the other day, anonymously pretending, saying that he worked for an agency. Blah blah blah. You know, and you really got to be on top of your game before approaching me. And I'm not sounding pretentious here, but I've been through such a lot and seen so much that I know when somebody was maybe having me on. You know, so it's difficult to judge, but mainly a guy who explains the UFO cover-up very, very accurately and perhaps unbeknown to him is Joseph P. Farrell. Have you had him on the show at all? I don't know whether you've had him. No, you want to get him on your show. He's one hell of a... Well, his research is very accurate. And what happened was, the interesting story about all this is that I was out... I'll begin the story, that I was out filming with my camcorder. And on this particular evening, I'd been persistently warned by these mysterious forces not to go out filming on my own late at night. And I didn't listen to them, and I went out filming late at night on my own down by what's known as the new, what's known as the motorway bridge. It's a bridge that goes over a river, basically, in simple terms. And there's like a bank near there, like a river bank. And I'm kind of like, on this particular evening, one of these balls of light turn up. They actually turn up, and it's flying around and being very elusive, and I'm thinking, that's odd, why is it doing that? And I had this horrible feeling, this absolute very strange and horrible feeling, but I knew it all about UFOs, so there's no problem there. And what I did is I remember the camcorder had somehow jammed or something was wrong with the camcorder, and I turned away from where I was looking, adjusted the camcorder, swung the camcorder back round again, and sure enough, in front of me was this UFO, this dot of light hovering in midair. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, aye, what's going on there? And there it was, looking at me in the middle of this field, just hovering. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not good. And there it is, and it hovers, and it's looking at me, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, this thing's going to knock me flying. This thing's gonna do something. And it did. It actually assaulted me. And it was using some type of delivery system that would kind of like, you could hear it. It was like voice-to-skull technology, if you could imagine your skull being vibrated with it. And it was there, and it assaulted me. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget what happened on that evening. And the assault was not very pleasant, what it did either. It was not very pleasant at all. And I was thinking to myself, my God, it's true, they're not friendly. These UFOs are not friendly. Where are they coming from? What the hell's going on, you know? And so I had to then venture very deeply into what was going on to find out why these objects were not friendly. And to me, it explained a very then developed a very interesting story indeed. To do with UFOs, Britain, America, and Antarctica. And it was very interesting. What I came across is my take on what is a big jigsaw and why some of these UFOs are not kind of friendly in the way that they should be. And it fitted very nicely into my framework of experiences as to why some of them were not friendly. And it does appear that at the end of World War II, the Third Reich, which then became the Fourth Reich, some of them disappeared. The technology base, the whole works, disappeared to Antarctica and disappeared to Argentina. And the rub of this is that at some level, I do agree with Joseph Farrell on the issue, is that some level we have an agency, we have an organisation that is possibly beyond paperclip, beyond the Nazi paperclip kind of thing where the Americans took the Nazi technology base. This is possibly beyond them. This is possibly beyond these Nazis probably escaped, and this technology base is still in existence today, and we have their UFOs and technology flying around us causing all kinds of problems.
All right, guys, we got a minute until break, and we'll pick this up after a 10-minute break, and you're right about you're definitely right about Argentina, and I can go into a whole bunch of stuff like that with you.
Hey, Tony, tell the audience in the virtual auditorium your YouTube link. What is that? You have some very great good video of some of the stuff caught on video.
Oh yeah. Sorry, did you say my YouTube site?
What's the link? I don't have it near me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's Tony Ops UFO is my YouTube channel. So it's youtube.com/ Tony Ops UFO.
You can find it on my Facebook page as well.
Yeah, and it's there's some amazing clips, audio clips. We can get into the abduction scenario in Indonesia that's been going on. The government scientists who are having extraterrestrial issues but have kept quiet about it. That's an interesting avenue where we can explore maybe after the break as well, guys, yeah?
Sounds good to me.
Yep. All right, guys.
Rock and roll, baby. Yep. It's break time. Pee if you got to pee. I've already peed. I pee secretly. Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe. I want to make sure we're not going to prison for Tony singing fuck.
Oh, stop it, guys. Stop it. As soon as I find out that we're not on the radio, I'm going to start dropping F-bombs left and right.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Tony said Puck.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to do that. Do you have to edit that out then?
No.
We should be fine, hopefully.
Oh, okay. All right. Hellfire. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, no, what happened is we used to cuss on the show all the time, but we're doing FM now, so we're not. Like, you can say a few things, but fuck is definitely not one of them.
Well, usually what happens is I'll tell Joe, yeah, go to FM. And I didn't tell him that tonight, so I don't know if he flipped the switch or not. So
I don't know either. We'll find out. Oh Lord, I need another Coca-Cola, baby. Coca-Cola.
Oh dear, it's going well, isn't it? Seems to be anyway.
Yeah.
Seems to be.
Man.
It's enough to make you bloody stoned, is all this. It really is enough to make anyone bloody stoned. Pass the weed, that's what I say, guys.
You guys drink a lot over there. I always see you and Nick talking about being drunk.
We do. Yeah, the Jack Daniels is always to hand, believe me. Yeah, well, you need to be in my situation. You bloody need a lot of drink, I tell you. You really do.
So what's the weed like? Is this legal there, isn't it, on some level?
Well, in our country, no, it's illegal, actually. The cannabis, no, it's illegal in our country. No, the authorities don't like it at all. Not that I smoke the stuff. I'm not on drugs, by the way. God knows I need to be. But I'm, I'm not on drugs, no. No, I'm not.
I wouldn't judge you if you were. I found out that, in my experience, many people in the UFO community self-medicate.
Are you being sabotaged tonight then by the Paratopia lot, or have they kept quiet this evening? Are they not giving...
Those guys, man, they're gone. I haven't heard from them in forever.
Oh, all right, that's good then. I know you had your forum sabotaged.
Yeah, they kind of vanished. They're still around, sort of, but we don't really deal with them that much anymore.
Yeah, so, they're just a couple of clowns. You know, they thought they were just like these super serious David Biedney researcher guys, and they're just fucking nobody. I mean, they're just me and Jeff are real experiencers, dude. You know what I mean? We've had some we've had some serious fucking shit happen to us, and we're doing this to talk to other people about their fucking serious shit. And when I get somebody on the show that's bullshitting me or just full of crap telling me they wrote a book through a fucking Ouija board because fucking Raelian dictated it to him, I want to fucking scream. But I got it, because I made Jeff a promise that I wouldn't be David Biedney on a lot of these guests. I don't know if you know who he is, but, I would just unload on them, you're full of shit.
We've had David on the show, and it caused complete utter apocalypse.
Yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? He's brilliant. Is David Binney really? He really is brilliant. He's put me right on a few things. But there's no room for people like us, is there? With people like them, the real experiencers can usually spot bullshit a mile away. These people who are channeling stuff and all that kind of thing. Real life isn't like that, is it? If you've had these experiences, it's not like that. It's nothing like what they've written. It really, nothing can prepare you for it. Nothing at all.
My thing is if they say something like, oh, I couldn't make this shit up. You're making it up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're making it up.
Yeah. And the other issue that is not addressed is possibly the people who have had these experiences, maybe like yourself and Jeffrey, and maybe me, are suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. Definitely so. This is an issue that is not looked at and needs to be. It's neglected by a lot of people. The symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder from it all, because it's enough to send anybody insane. It really is.
You know, it was crazy. I've been saying, pretty much as up on the show that people really just don't give a shit. About things and about this, about these scenes and that sort of thing. And, I've really been trying to, get corner people and kind of talk about it. And my I just realized that, you know, I had an hour and a half conversation with my director of fucking HR, this lady, about all sorts of crap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What, you mean in the world of work? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just like normal people, just really, you know, they just go about their jobs, and when I bring up the show or they bring it up, all of a sudden we're talking about it, and all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden I find out she's a twin, and she has all these paranormal experiences with her twin, and just, you know, her whole family and all this crap, and... You know, because I was joking around. I was like, you're not going to, like, fire me and, like, use all this against me, are you?
Yeah. I mean, I went for a job interview only last week, and it didn't become a job interview. It ended up chatting about UFOs. It was absolutely unbelievable. You know, so it does attract, you know, you do discover that you do get people who want to control you as well. I don't know whether you've come across that, but if you have experiences like you've had or I've had, you find that there are people out there who are spiritually new age on a, you know, and they want to control you. That they want to invalidate you and control you. I find that's a repeated worrying theme as well that keeps cropping up with people.
Yeah, it's the same as a religion. I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing.
What do you think about all these people going around saying the reptilians are lighting the old fires and shit?
Oh, the reptilians, did you say? Yeah. It's very interesting when you look at the research that David Icke's done, because it's not him that's saying it. It's actually ancient research that's actually saying all this. As I recall, I think it was... Now, I may be wrong on this, but as I recall, I think it was the... tell Jeff FCC says he owes them $5,000. Oh, Christ. I think it was the... Oh, hellfire.
You better go sell an organ or something, dude. You're going to go fucking sell your kidney.
The whole thing with the reptilians is they're all evil. They're setting fires. They throw tantrums. People are making an entire race out to be evil, and no one really knows if the entire race is evil. They're just like... They're like the new Jews, you know? It's like the reptiles are the new Jews.
Listen. Here's one thing I know about this whole thing that's happening with aliens and the universe and everything is we don't know dick. We don't.
We don't know.
And people walk around pretending like they know.
They talk in absolutes.
Yeah. You know, they've got to have their little belief system down. They got to have that, or they can't function. They can't walk around not knowing. Really, man. I mean, that's a whole basis for religion.
Yeah. I that's the whole basis of is it David Bidney and all? I mean, there's people like that. Who, I mean, I went through that trap of knowing it all. You know, you don't know it. Or even with my experiences or your experiences, we still don't know, do we? We just don't know. And that's the frustrating thing about it all, isn't it? Really is.
Someone posted this on my page, this lady. She said, Sananda is the name for Jesus Christ, and he has returned, and he is battling the reptilian people, and the Anunnaki have joined the Federation, and now it's the Federation headed by Jesus.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah.
We're on in a minute, man.
It was great.
we'll bring it up. We'll bring that up. It's funny.
Let's get into reptilians. Yeah, let's do that. Let me start out. Are we going?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, we're back from break.
No, we're not.
Getting into a few topics. So.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah. Oh, wait, yeah, we're back. Okay. I can barely hear the music going.
We've not been taken off the air then, guys. We've not been taken off the air by the FCC then, I take it.
Not yet.
Ooh, heck, dear me.
We'll
I do
be fine. I have UFOs protect us. They'll burn people with fire. Like Bible. Here's what I think. We were discussing the reptilian issue. Lately on Facebook, I've noticed that there's this large movement towards reptilian aliens that's pretty much they're all evil. I've even seen things such as some reptilians set oil fires to these things going on in the Gulf. And it seems like to me, I brought up some discussions on my Facebook page, that if we're ever going to be a galactic civilization, isn't it kind of messed up to be like, oh, the whole reptilian race is evil? And then, of course, today we were joking about this. I mentioned someone posted on my Facebook page today that Lord Sananda Jesus Christ is aligned with the Federation and the Anunnaki. I can't say that right now. We won't get into that. The Anunnaki, you say it, guy. I'm from Georgia. That's a hard one for me. Anyway, they're aligned with they joined the Federation. So now the Federation, aligned with the Zachariah Sitchin beings, are in league with Jesus Christ, who is Sananda, and guess who they're doing battle against? The reptilian lizard people. That's what's happening in Lightworker Woo-Woo Channelverse right now, apparently. So basically what I'm addressing, Tony, what would be some of your views on reptilians? What do you think about reptilians? And I also saw on a forum earlier today, someone was like, reptilians, like the new code word for Jews, like it's basically the next step as far as hatred and racism. You know, I guess reptilians are the new Jewish people. I read that on a forum and thought it was interesting. But
I think, what's your view on reptilians, Tony? I think one of the U.S. military remote viewers, one of the top ones, Joseph McMonigal, who was one of the top U.S. Remote viewers, he really was very... I don't know whether you've heard of him. You might want him on your program. He's a fantastic guy. He had an incident with a reptilian, so he says in his autobiography, oddly enough. If you look through ancient folklore, especially Zulu folklore, they were called the children of the serpent. If you look at some of the ancient tribal folklore, especially Zulu folklore, which has a rich history of kind of like being aware of what these things were, they called them the children of the serpent. Now, I've forgotten where I read this, but I think some of the Buddhist monks in Tibet, now, what were they? These guys who, the Shaolin, are they called? Yeah, I think they are. I could be wrong on this, but I did read that some of their defensive systems and that spectacular gymnastics, you see, was developed because of harassment from the children of the serpent, as in reptiles. And to this day, their symbolism, and I don't know whether they are true or whether they exist or not, but to this day, their symbolism does exist. If you, for example, in the city of London, it is... The whole place is dotted with what would be called reptilian symbolism everywhere, the children of the serpent. So there is an actual kind of history of them existing and being around us, and it's very interesting indeed. I would say it's a more ancient force that is around us, but definitely so. I have reason to suspect that they do exist, most definitely.
Yeah, and with the reptilians, I've had a positive reptilian experience back in my crazier, foolish occult days of doing insane things with invoking and summoning, and I definitely had a reptilian experience that was actually very positive. And many of the reptilian experiences I've read about in books on shamanism, they usually see these beings when they do peyote or ayahuasca, and they have positive reptilian experiences as well. Now, who's to say there's not some evil reptilians like there are, you know, evil humans? But I think the part that troubles me the most is it seems like so many people are so quick to say this whole reptilian species of race that exists in the cosmos, they just put the label pretty much evil.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed so. And the thing is with it as well, what gets me about all this is the fact that you have, for example, the Tyrannosaurus Rex as a dinosaur, for example, with an advanced brain, an advanced hunting system. It can see ultraviolet light. You know, the biology of that creature is amazing. The school of thought was with the children of the serpent that some of these dinosaurs evolved into walking, talking dinosaurs of high grade intelligence, and the school of thinking is that the evolution of them and their history was completely erased from the history books altogether. It's as if there's been... This is the school of thinking. I don't know whether it's correct, but it's just interesting for your listeners that that's what some of these people who have researched to... And I would say that's probably accurate, that there's a piece of history missing where the dinosaurs possibly evolved into something that could walk and talk and was very intelligent and was reptilian. That's what I think was possible.
I saw somewhere, imagine a planet where dinosaurs exist where they didn't go extinct. I mean, where would they be right now if they really didn't go extinct? It's pretty, you know, the fact that dinosaurs were here, I mean, it's pretty, you know, that's a lot, that's pretty possible that, you know, dinosaurs have been on other planets. So imagine them not being destroyed. And it also makes sense that some of them possibly were protected maybe by alien beings or their DNA, and they survived it and maybe evolved into something weird.
Well, look at it this way. We've had, I think the Earth has had three major extinction events to where, you know, very large amounts of, you know, 99% of all life had died out. You know, I mean, it happened before the dinosaurs. What if that hadn't happened? What crazy crap we'd be right now, you know what I mean? We could have, like, 15 arms or whatever, you know, or, you know, but they just found a layer of nanodiamonds, in Greenland, which pretty much proves that North American continent, like 12,000 years ago, was hit with a comet or something. They think it hit a glacier in Canada, and that's what wiped out the fauna, all the plants and stuff like that in North America, and it caused, another extinction event. So basically all the plants died, and then all the animals died because they couldn't friggin' eat, you know. So, yeah, it's like the it's like that layer of you know, the meteorite that that surrounds the Earth. How they so nothing over any all the bones they find that are above that layer are just small mammal bones. The only thing that's lived are what could live under the ground. You know, and then all the big bones are underneath that layer. I think it's like the K2 layer or something like that. They call it. I can't remember what it's called. But, yeah, man, I mean, they could be saber-toothed tigers and all sorts of stuff running around here right now. Our world could be completely different. So all it takes is one chance hit by something, you know, or a super volcano to go off, and then you got a whole different race of whatever. You know, dolphins could be walking around.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, I, you know, I think, Guy, that takes us very nicely to a YouTube clip that I posted from... I very kindly was given permission by Whitley Stryber to post some of his audio clips from his site onto my YouTube. And what I do is I take some of the best interviews that he's done. I've forgotten the guy's name, but basically it's on the theme of what we're talking about. And what happened was he interviewed this man who was a radio producer who had gone to Indonesia to set up a small local radio station in the villages around that area. And he took his radio crew, or the crew that was helping him, into this village in Indonesia. And the villagers were all very polite indeed and very friendly, but kept looking at the guy who was wearing yellow socks. Sounds odd, but they did. They kept paying attention to the guy who was wearing yellow socks, but didn't say anything to him. So the guy who was being interviewed asked the villagers, why are you looking at him with the yellow socks all the time? And they said, you can't go into the jungle wearing yellow socks. You will not come back. You'll be abducted. You need to wear black colours, because then they, in quotes, won't see you. So this guy didn't think anything of this, thought it was superstitious folklore. And his crew, I don't know why they'd gone into the jungle, but they went into the jungle and they disobeyed what the villagers said. And this guy went in to the jungle with his yellow socks on, and they came back and nothing happened apart from the fact that he said he'd been bitten. And as a result of him being bitten, he became seriously ill with fever. And from what I understand from what the interviewer was saying, he was projectile vomiting up to 70 feet, was this guy. He was very, very ill. And he couldn't describe what it was other than a strange something had bitten him on the leg. And it turned out that what was happening was that people were going into the tourists were going into the jungle wearing bright colours and were being abducted. They were not being returned. And the interview then went on to discuss about some backpackers from Australia or somewhere, I think it was, who'd gone into the mountains in there. And I think the party of them, I think there must have been about five of them, and they were abducted. One survived, and he came back and indicated that what had happened was they'd been taken by these people. He could only describe them as people. And what was strange about them was they had mouths like grinning Cheshire cats. But he says what was even stranger about them was the fact that it was like another world that they were in. And they had these unusual deer. And it was like another world they'd gone into in the jungle. And he said that for some reason he'd made it back, and he was suffering deep shock and trauma from it all. And seemingly you've probably heard of them, but they were, the villagers called them the Djinn, Djinn. Seemingly it's going on in Australia as well at the moment, where people are being abducted, and the villagers have known about this for centuries. They've actually known about all this going on for centuries and always wear dark clothes. So if you're travelling into the jungles of Indonesia, you'd better not wear bright colours.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, indeed. And what they didn't, for some reason, these repeated abductions have been continuing, and they've been taken into another environment as if part of history or part of evolution had been untouched, and they'd gone into another world in the jungle, as it were, that had not been discovered by mankind, seemingly. And it's the thing about these grinning Cheshire cat type people that were there, and it's frightening, absolutely frightening, that people were being abducted and not returned. And numerous occasions this has happened to people.
Hey, you know, I've seen that smile too. Actually, it looked more like the cartoon of the Joker. And it was when one of my dogs accidentally drank some bleach water in the back of the house, and I turned around and I swear to God I thought he had turned into a demon. I mean, his normal, like where it stopped, went all the way up to his ears. He was like, oh my God, his face just contorted. It was the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life. And with you just saying that, just brought that up. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, what happened to you? I thought he was, you know, dying or something. It looked like his face was trying to come out of his skin or something.
And did he say, never rub another man's rhubarb?
No, dear, right. he wasn't happy, though.
Never dance with the devil in the pale moonlight. That would be pretty scary if your dog was saying that. It looked like the Joker.
Hey,
asylum.
Yeah, Tony, you were talking earlier about, before we went to initial break, you were talking about Nazis going to Argentina. Now, I don't know about the Antarctica. I'd heard about that. I'd heard about a pilot flying over and seeing that. But I know a bunch of people went to Argentina and all that stuff, but here's one thing that did happen. There was a commune there that was actually discovered later on to be run by one of the Nazi doctors. And he was continuing his experiences. It was like a Jonestown. And they had their own security force. They had their own, military people. They were all Argentinian, of course. But they had this. They just grew people. I mean, they just continually grew people. No one could leave. You know, it's kind of like a cult type thing. And it definitely happened. It's a fact.
Yeah.
And there were hundreds of people that were there.
I think at the end of World War II, Bormann and mob had about a good few billion in the bank accounts at the end of World War II. And what is very interesting on the theme of Antarctica is the involvement, believe it or not, here in my country of what is termed the Special Boat Squadron, the SBS. You've probably got the Special Forces guys, the Delta Force and all that kind of thing. But in the UK, we've got something known as Special Boat Squadron. There is the Special Air Service. But these guys, from what I can pick up, it's these guys in the SBS who've had the paranormal encounters. And I was reading some testimony from a former serving officer who, at the end of World War II, was asked to go to the Falkland Islands on a secret operation. And he didn't know why he was being sent there, so he turns up with his unit on the Falkland Islands, and a man in a suit turns up, and a government scientist is sat there, and they play back this recording of a unit that had gone to investigate the Nazis in Antarctica, and it was an actual radio transmission. Now, this is testimony from him. I don't know whether it's just very interesting. And what happened was, he played, the recording was played back of this soldier who is screaming down the radio for assistance because they're being attacked. They're being attacked, and he's screaming down the radio for assistance. But he's not just screaming because the Nazis are after him. He's screaming down the radio because he's being attacked by the polar men. Men that are large in size, bigger than the Nazis that were chasing them, this sort of thing. And so the mission was to go into Antarctica and investigate what was actually going on, investigate what was happening. And this guy who was in the SBS went into Antarctica with a unit and describes a battle he had in a tunnel, like a gun battle he had in a tunnel with some of these, what he termed polar men. And these and the Nazis that were there, and not only that, there's that repeated theme of Operation High Jump as well, whereby the Americans sent a task force, didn't they? American Navy. I don't know whether you're familiar with it, guys. They sent a task force up to Antarctica under Operation High Jump, and they came back with damaged aircraft and damaged aircraft carriers, and I think a ship was lost. I think to this day, the relatives of the ship that sank, they still don't quite know why it sank, and that was in Antarctica. And it's interesting to see the British kind of testimony of what went on over there, that Britain was doing operations in Antarctica, believe it or not, probably before the Americans were, and were perhaps aware of the mysterious mysteries that were Antarctica. And I had reason to suspect that that's where some of these UFOs that were hassling me were actually coming from. I think, I don't know whether the quote is correct, but your Admiral, Admiral Bayard, quoted that he'd seen these objects, these UFOs, fly from pole to pole at speed. And it's interesting to note that I do strongly believe that the UFO cover-up is possibly due to this kind of Nazi technological base that is in place at the moment and is bumping into off-world visitors. They have a technology base that's highly developed and is possibly bumping into and having a mini war with these off-world visitors that we're getting, hence the confrontational situation regarding UFOs, although it doesn't explain the hostile abduction scenarios that go on that some people report. It doesn't accurately explain that, the people who have been abducted and subjected to serious illegal violation or experimentation. And it doesn't quite fit, but it fits in one sense that it may explain why, from my experiences, the UFO contact I've had has been friendly. However, there's been this hostile element to it that I couldn't work out. And so in my frame of experience, it fits in the jigsaw very very nicely for me. Quite mind-blowing, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? And the facts of the matter was is that at the end of the day, you've got guys who were dying on the beaches in World War II, and the facts of the matter is the war was never won. The Nazi technological base moved into NASA, was it Truman or Roosevelt? They authorized paperclip, didn't they? And this technological base is today still in existence and still there. And I do believe strongly that it is, that the ideology is still present and is responsible for the UFO cover-up today. That's why governments are getting no sense when they're trying to disclose. They're getting absolutely no sense whatsoever of the situation because of this, of what went on at the end of World War II.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way that the Russians could... that's the only way they were able to deliver nuclear bombs and stuff, because of the... we got a couple scientists, they got a couple scientists, and, you know, Russia's bombs, their nuclear bombs, they never made them small enough that they could carry on a plane. So it's because of those scientists why they got to, why they got Sputnik up there and everything else before us, because they had the kick-ass rocket technology, you know,
yeah,
that they got from the Germans.
Yeah, indeed. And I'll tell you something, guys. During the break, we were discussing as well, weren't we, the fact that experiences do not match each other. You cannot cross-correlate. So, for example, Guy, you could have an experience of speaking to an alien, or Jeffrey could, or I could, and the information would actually be all different. We wouldn't be able to maybe tally up our experiences. That's what we were saying earlier, wasn't it, I think? We wouldn't be able to match up. And yet, if you look very carefully indeed, we'd probably... You know, with people who've experienced true UFO contact, if you look at the experiences of Russian cosmonauts at the height of the Cold War, when Pravda and TASS and all the agencies were in place and the Politburo, those guys were having real UFO experiences, and they will probably, more than likely, be a good rule of thumb for your own experiences. Nothing that's written on the internet could not match my experiences. I couldn't find anything that would tally up. And then I started looking at the experiences of the cosmonauts and discovered that my experiences and their experiences were similar. And so if you're having UFO experiences, it's useful to look at what happened to them, because you will find that it tallies. You will actually find that their experiences might be similar to yours or mine, and you start getting then a cross correlation, and their experiences were absolutely fascinating. I mean, yeah. Those guys are unbelievable. What went on?
The Russians, they had a site that was like our Area 51, and that place,
really,
yeah, that place was. There was a special I saw on National Geographic or something like that.
Wow,
it was where they had like the generals and pilots and everything else from there. It was
they were releasing
the Russian files, and they finally got permission to talk about it, and they were just talking about all sorts of crap. Like, they would go up there and actually try to engage these things, and one guy got his wings cut off, just all sorts of crazy crap. They thought they actually caused a rocket to explode on the ground. They hit it with a beam of light or something like that. But, I mean, everybody has probably gone through this. You know?
Yeah, indeed so. And what they went through was the space whispering as well, which I found fascinating. You may be aware of it, Guy and Jeffrey, where they're actually up in orbit in their Sputnik, or whatever they call it, their space station. And a couple of them were getting whispered at. They were hearing kind of whispers being given to them, more or less saying, look, you're too young to go into the universe. It's time for you to go back. I mean, even some of them, as I understand it, were even being told their family members' and relatives' names to them. And it frightened them immensely. A lot of them needed psychiatric help when they touched down on Earth because it shocked them very, very deeply. And then there's the incident where one of these UFOs is actually goes right through them, actually flies right through them. And they see the ETs, the big smiling kind of faces. They say that they'll never forget it. They had the smiles of angels as they passed through them, you know. And these repeated themes of what the Russians went through was unbelievable. I know there's some very good research done by a researcher called Paul Stonehill. He's absolutely superb. And what I'm looking at the moment is the issue of the transistor, the development of the transistor. There was a guy in your country called Jack Shulman of the American Computing Corporation who put up a lot, I don't know whether you're familiar with that, but he put up a lot of stuff to do with Roswell and the fact that the transistor was developed from the Roswell UFO crash in parallel with Philip Corso. But I think David Bidney, who you had on your program, is he the technical guy? Is he a technical kind of guy, David Bidney? Is that correct?
Yeah,
he is, isn't he? Yeah. Well, he's got some interesting stuff on that as well, because as I understand it, I needed to do some more research, but he kind of knows stuff to do with NASA and transistor development and what was going on as well. So it all makes a very interesting mix. But what happened was, according to Paul Stonehill, Russia also had a downed UFO and was also developing transistor technology based on that. But I can't find any information about it. This guy, Jack Shulman of the American Computing Corporation, said that he was approached by somebody with a logbook, a scientist's logbook, and it was all about the development of the transistor via AT&T. Because it's, well, from what they're saying, it's inaccurate as to how the transistor develops. And so that's the research I've been actually looking at, that there seems to be a hidden mystery as to how the transistor was actually developed. But I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of it. I bet David had probably shed some light on it if he came back on your program again.
Definitely.
The story of Jack Shulman's very interesting, because he puts it up on he puts up this stuff to do with Roswell, and the fact that it had developed, the transistor had been developed from the Roswell UFO crash, and all his servers went down. I think he was visited by men in suits from the Pentagon, you know, and they're a big firm, as I understand it, the American Computing Corporation. They're a very big company, and I just found the research absolutely fascinating, and the Russian side of it as well. If you can have a look at the experiences of the cosmonauts and what happened to them, you'd get a very good kind of yardstick to your own experiences. I don't know what your experiences are, guys, but you'd get a very good kind of yardstick to follow from that. It would prove that you are not invalidated. It would prove that what is going on is actually happening.
You definitely have me wanting to check into their stories more. I mean, I've seen some, like, on documentaries, but I would love to find someone that's like writes books about that subject and interview them or find out more book about it.
It's a guy called Paul Stonehill. Maybe we'll get him on your program. He's absolutely superb.
Hey, but you know what? Considering, kind of going back to what you just said about validation, you know, I really don't need any validation for my experiences. It's like,
no.
You know, yeah, it's like, I like listening to other people, giving other people's views on things that have happened to them. And of course, your story is very. We're just you know, skimming the top of it. I assume, you know, for this show. And you know, I know the things that happened to me. I'm not doing hypnosis. I'm not going to mess with those memories. I'm not going to do, you know, that sort of thing. I know in my soul, every cell knows that this happened. You know,
yeah,
these things,
exactly.
You know, that they, you know, that they happen to me. So, you know, if people, you know, look at me and they say, "Oh, you're full of crap," or you were on drugs, or you were abused, you're some crap. I'm just like, dude, whatever. You know, I feel sorry for you.
When it comes to experiences, you reach a point to where if people don't believe you, just don't care.
well, that's right.
Who cares? I don't care if you believe me or not.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely right. But you do find in the mainstream, the guys who, I think I was talking about this earlier, wasn't I? The guys who are also having contact experiences are government scientists as well. There's an actual guy who has done propulsion research for NASA and so on and so forth. Clips of him are on my YouTube site. Now, I know the guy's name, but he changed his name because if he didn't, the scientific community would probably chuck him out. But what happened to him was that he was working on calculations to do with transportation systems. He didn't quite go into details. And what happened to him was he said that he's a very educated man, very educated indeed, and he does he's an artist as well. And he changed his name from his name was, and he called himself Mike. And he was interviewed, and he was giving this interview. He was saying that he had. What basically happened was he was working on these calculations, and he started, he woke up in his bedroom to discover these two aliens in his, like something out of a bloody movie, discover these two aliens in his room. And he said that the room became like a panoramic view of the universe or whatever, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. And then it all kind of went into a hazy mist, and he couldn't quite remember what had happened. But he said he was driving down this road in Texas or somewhere, and he came across this UFO. It was as big as a house, this great big UFO, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. Some sort of interaction happened, and as a result of the interaction he had, the calculations he was working on, that he was stuck on, he cracked them. And as a result of that, the trouble is that you don't know what it's revolutionized, but seemingly behind the scenes, these calculations have revolutionized something to do with transport, and it's due to his contact with extraterrestrials. And then there's the issue of scientists who have been implanted as well. And it's absolutely crazy, because some people who are carrying implants, it's possibly using scalar wave technology, which causes all kinds of strange paranormal effects on people. And it goes to explain in some cases why some people may be having freaky paranormal incidents, because they're carrying these scalar wave implants. Absolutely amazing. I've forgotten the guy's name. Robert Coons, I think he's called. And he worked for the National Security Agency, so it is said. And there's a clip on my YouTube channel of him commenting on the effects of these scalar implants. And I think some of these implants have been analysed, and they are emitting signals on subspace frequencies. They're technological based. I think the isotopes on them and the way they've been analysed, they're thousands of years old, and they cannot explain it at all. And so there's all this stuff that we're dealing with, the implants, the enforced silence, and then there's the disclosure of it all. And it can get all very confusing. One wonders where it's all leading. One really does.
Like Blade Runner, dude.
Yeah. One of the things that I noticed that started happening to me, I went for this longest time where I was seeing lots of like shadow people and stuff like that. And I'm not talking out of the corner of my eye. I'm talking about, I'd be walking across my living room and all of a sudden parts of my wall and my walkway are blocked out because there's three or four shadow, whatever, walking in front of me. And one of them is even small enough to like be an animal. And right around that time period, I started getting this, I'd just be sitting there. And all of a sudden, I'd hear this doo-doo-doo-doo. It was like a digital sounding noise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then, oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that, then, yeah.
And then an LED light. It would be like an LED light would shine in my eye for a second. And at the first couple of times it happened, I thought I was going freaking nuts. And then and then when it started happening, I noticed my dogs would become really agitated. And they would get up and leave the room. And, you know, my dog started having seizures. Just some real crazy stuff. And it was just random stuff. It was just random. I just sitting Sunday eating pizza, watching football. All of a sudden, I would just get this weird feeling in my teeth, and all of a sudden I would hear that noise, and then a boop, like a red LED just shine, like roof, you know those pen lights that are LED pen lights?
Yeah.
It would like boom, right in my eye. Well, just one quick little, it was like I was scanned almost. It was trippy, dude, you know. But it wasn't really traumatizing. It was just, I've had so much stuff happen to me to where it was just like, oh, great, that's something else. You know?
Yeah, that's what happens, Guy, isn't it? Oh, great, it's something else. It's, what is it? It's like in that movie, isn't it? Same SSDD, same doodah, different day, as they call it, SSDD, isn't it, or something like that. And it is, isn't it? And there comes a point where you just get thoroughly brassed off with it all. There comes a point where you really do get thoroughly brassed off with it all, and you sometimes wonder. I do think that this planet is occupied. I think it's occupied by an intelligence that we have yet to understand. I really do. And a very ancient one as well, a very ancient force is ruling this planet. And I think that E.T. and their UFOs are actually fully aware of this. And, well, I mean, in the symbolism that you see, you know, in occult terms, in the symbolism and all like that, that if you look, for example, in the pop videos that you see today, it's absolutely remarkable, the symbolism involved. The question being is, what is it they are praying to? What is it that they are giving homage to? Now, some researchers would say, well, it's Lucifer, it's Satan, it's all that kind of thing. When in fact, some of us on the cutting edge would say it's something extraterrestrial, it's something alien that is unknown to us. It's beyond, it's beyond the occult. It's beyond what is presented to us as the occult. It's presented to us, you know, secret societies, symbolism, the pecking order, all this kind of thing. It's as if some intelligence has presented it to human beings.
It reminds me of, what is it, Dunwich Horror by H.P. Lovecraft.
Okay. Not familiar with it.
Hey, man, you know, we're not on top of the food chain here.
No, we're not.
Not even close, man. I mean, I believe that at any time we could immediately not be knocked off our pedestal, right? At any time,
Let me tell the Dunwich Horror story to Tony. He's not familiar with it. Just briefly, basically, it's from H.P. Lovecraft, and pretty much there's a being of ocean-like reptilians living in this town. And they're from the ocean, and they're disguised as humans, and basically they're preparing, one of them realizes that he thought he was a human, but he's realizing that he's one of these ancient reptilian sea creatures, and basically the whole climax of the story, and there's been some rather cheesy movies that could have been better about it, but is that this great sea creature, I guess it's Cthulhu, or it's like Leviathan's coming. To turn it into reptile world.
It's Cthulhu. The story of Cthulhu is that they are that it is a god, an ancient sleeping god in the depths of the ocean, that we are all its children, and it's not a good god. It's an evil god. It's a brutal god, and it's the reason we are the way we are, and it's going to wake up and. It's going to come and kick our ass. Now, James Cameron and Guillermo del Toro are making In the Mouth of Madness, which is going to be like a 3-hour movie in 3D that's going to tell this whole story.
Finally, a Lovecraft movie that's not going to suck. I've also heard that Ron Howard is doing the comic book, The Strange Adventures of H.P. Lovecraft, which is a great comic. So.
Yeah.
It looks like we might finally get some H.P. Lovecraft movies that don't suck.
Hey, Tony. Tony, did you ever see... You saw Hellboy, right?
Yes, I did. Yes, yeah.
The creatures that they're trying to bring from the other side are essentially... they're based on Cthulhu myths.
Really? Right? Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. 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 So...
And basically, next month is Sam Hain... Which there's another way to say it, I've been told, but I'm saying Samhain because I'm a Georgia redneck. Badass, that's how we say it in the South, baby, in the dirty South, Samhain. But next month, Samhain, October, Halloween Ritual Month, and we are having several occultists on, a time traveler, a Bigfoot hunter, and then our special Halloween panel is going to consist of demonology, and we're going to definitely get into some of these topics as
who's
well.
Who's the dude who's the time traveler then? Did you say you're having a guy who's a time traveler on?
Bisago.
What's his name, sorry?
Bisago, Andrew Bisago. Did I say his name right?
Okay, right, yeah. He's a lawyer, isn't he? Is that right? He's like a...
weird. I went to call him to do a schedule change, and his phone picks up, and he's like, "This is Andrew Bisago, lawyer, offices of blah, 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 blah."
Yeah. Indeed, so it's kind of like it's not something I often talk about, but the issue of human beings and time travel is actually happening. It's very real, and there's a lot of it about on the internet of people claiming time travel and this, that, and the other. And you find that when you when you're having contact with UFOs or whatever, without kind of sounding too bullshitty, you find that you've passed through one realm into another, and then you put back again. And at some point in the proceedings, you've kind of like time travelled. And it's very odd to discover that some of this UFO phenomenon that we're seeing is actually relevant to human beings and time travel. It's quite freaky. Because what is freaky about it is that on the issue of time travel is that it's as if the human beings involved in it have still not learnt anything. They've still just not learnt anything at all, even though we had developed time travel. We've still not learnt anything. We're still the same violent, stupid, you know. In fact, I'm skimming the surface here, but during the course of my experiences, these people in the UFOs would refer to human beings as Earth human, but they'd have another category, and they'd call them future Earth human. There's this term, phraseology bandied around of future Earth human. What they would often use, in the course of my experience, it spans nearly 14 years, well, a lifetime, that, you know, there's this issue of human time travellers and the future and the fact that we didn't learn anything and are not learning anything on the path that we're on. And it really is very serious. It really is. I don't know what he would make of it. Yeah? The guy who's...
What was the thing that Obama just said? You have to overcome the left side of your reptilian brain or something? He said something weird recently about overcoming the left side of your reptilian brain.
Did you see the? Sorry, I just start going off slightly. Did you see the reverse speech done on a speech that Obama gave, where he's going, "Yes, we can." I think he was being elected, and he comes out with this phraseology, "Yes, we can." Have you seen the reverse speech of that at all, guys? I don't know whether you have. Okay, well, what happens is this guy, I've forgotten the YouTube site I was looking at, but he did a reverse speech analysis on what he was saying. And "Yes, we can" in reverse speech is "Thank you, Satan." And it's absolutely unbelievable. And what was happening is every time he went, "Yes, we can," the reverse speech would read, "Thank you, Satan." And every time the crowd went, "Yes, we can," they're saying, "Thank you, Satan," in reverse speech. It was absolutely unbelievable what I was hearing. Yeah, and I'm thinking, and the
it's
thing
like
is...
It's a John Carpenter movie.
indeed, and you're thinking, well, all right, well, what's all that about? And obviously, at some level, like in the film Inception, at some subliminal level, the human race and its consciousness and its subconsciousness has been connected to something that is like this James Cameron movie that's coming out, that's like a bad god or an evil god of some description. I think that probably gives some insight as to what's going on, you know. Very interesting.
Yeah, listen, we have all these love and light New Agers. I mean, they come on the show. Some of them are, I mean, Susan Kornacki was a little more not so right-wing, as you put it, you know what I mean, crazy. But we've had some real woo-woo people on here. And their main thing is we're having an awakening. The whole human race is awakening. All this stuff is happening. And it's almost like, are you kidding me? I mean, we are devolving. We're actually devolving. And I told someone, I think it was Susan when we interviewed her. It was Allison last week. I said, listen, we're not going to evolve anywhere until we get rid of certain things. And when we can function as a society, or we can function as a species without all of these laws and all of these things in place to guide us, so we don't kill each other, so we don't run red lights and kill each other and rape each other and do all these horrible things. You know, we have laws that make us, keep us in line, and there's penalties associated with that if we do screw up. You know, we go to jail, we all the things that happen, okay? Until we can actually evolve to the point to we don't need all these things, then and only then will we be ready to take the leap to deal with other sentient species. Because, you know, we herd other sentient species into coves and slaughter them right now. You know, dolphins and whales and stuff like that. And look what we do to each other, you know. So, you know, there's none of that is happening. It's just delusional. It's just people are lucid. They're not living in reality at all. They know nothing
and what
about.
What happens throughout history when people are doing that usually?
Doing
apocalypse
what?
Apocalypse happens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're always screaming apocalypse. They're always screaming something, and then they're pointing the finger at someone else. I mean, look at what happened at the end of the Black Plague. Okay, you had they just couldn't come up with every month it was some new reason why it was happening. Oh, God's mad, or you guys didn't do this, and now you're being punished. And then at the end, they just said, fuck it, it's the Jews, and they just burnt the Jews and killed them for a year. If you were a Jew, you were dead. If they found you, you were dead. They'd burn you, they'd kill you, whatever. We're all dying because it's the Jews. I mean, that's just what we do. We're doing it now. You know, yep. We're doing it, we do it now. You know, you just blame people and you point the finger and we treat each other like we don't have any respect for our own species, which we don't. So
truth is, we're all one, but
and it's so and you actually think another advanced race would come down here and try to even have a conversation with us? Our arrogance.
Yes, I do.
I mean, I'm talking on a global level and address us as a species.
Mm.
They'll come to individual people. They'll come to certain individual people.
I think you're right, Guy. I do agree with you. I think you're right, and I do think that at some level, at a level we do not understand, humanity is definitely being manipulated. But at a level we don't quite comprehend at the moment, and I think that's part of the UFO visitation. We are being warned. We're continually being warned that this is what is happening, and we have to change direction. If we don't, the consequences will be horrific. There's no awakening, as you said.
No, and it doesn't matter what the consequences are for the people in power and the money. It all comes back to the money. Look what happened with British with what happened with the oil spill. That is an absolute fucking disaster that we caused. That is just disgusting. And nobody it was just all about the money. Corners they cut to it happened. I see it happened at work. You see it happen everywhere. People cut corners. People die. They do this little thing, you know, the number of deaths, you know, how much we're going to get sued or how much money are we going to save if we cut these corners. They actually have meetings and talk about that, you know.
Yeah, indeed.
And they immediately start taking – you know, pointing fingers, and nobody will take responsibility for anything. It's like, look, gas prices didn't go up this summer because the oil companies were in deep shit over the spill. Could you imagine if they would have raised the price of gas and oil?
Sit back and blame the lizard people. That's what they do.
Yeah, what would have happened, you know?
the lizard people have the new Satan, the new devil.
my point is that people, us as a species, do not work together to better ourselves.
I totally agree with you.
And history, let me say this real quick. When it seems like there's a historical path throughout history with mankind that any time our civilization reaches a stage like that, that something global ecologically happens at such a level it almost kills everyone.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, listen, man. We got it. Right now. Tony, we got about 8 minutes. Why don't you take us out and talk about anything that you want to talk about? You got a website? You got a book?
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm often on TV and radio, and I'm trying to get a book written. I recently, in September of last year, I had a responsible job, but I had a bit of a mental breakdown with everything, and I'm currently at the moment I'm just in a state where I'm keeping away from the world of work at the moment due to all that's been going on. I mean, I'm utterly convinced that I've got post traumatic stress disorder after all that's been happening with me. I think that there is light at the end of the tunnel with my experiences, although these these people who have targeted me, you know, it is a worry. It really is a worry that they're still at large and that they're still there, and that it seems to me that the enforced silence, the UFO cover-up is there, even though governments are kind of like disclosing, the French government and other governments. There was a guy, you know, is it Bulgaria or Romania, one of the scientists, I think, came out with the fact that he thought that UFOs existed, and there seems to be this inner fear of not acknowledging what is actually going on in terms of the existence of UFOs and people, in other words. And I do realise that these experiences that I'm having are definitely leading somewhere. They're heading somewhere, but where, God only knows indeed. And I've got a YouTube site. It's got a load of stuff on it. Tony Ops UFO is the YouTube site. I've got my website, which is etlife.co.uk, and that vividly describes, as a part of my introduction to the book on there, and that vividly describes what happened to me. If you have a read of that, it vividly describes the mind control, the interaction with the UFOs and the aliens. I think, guys, I don't know whether you'd have any objections, but maybe in the weeks ahead do a part two with you. Of course, maybe we can maybe go a bit deeper. We've talked about a lot of things tonight, and maybe we could go for a part two at some point in the proceedings. You know, because I've really enjoyed it, and I will be checking.
I have a question from the audience that people are wanting me to ask you. It's a strange question. It's about George Michael and the Nolan sisters.
The Nolan sisters was a classified operation, and that person shouldn't be talking about that on your radio program. How the hell they've gone into your forum and started talking about that, I do not know. Because they should not be talking about the Nolan sisters to me. Really, if there's any way you can get them off your forum, I'd appreciate it, guys, because that is real, highly classified stuff that they're coming out with there. And really, I really don't want to talk about it. I really don't.
Okay. So here's a question I need answered. Slow zombies or fast running zombies? What's the real one? 28 Days Later zombies or George Romero zombie?
I think 28 Days Later zombie every time for me.
Every time. That's right. You slow loving zombie scumbags.
Romero's the man. Yeah. You know, Romero has a book coming out called It's the beginning. He's writing a horror novel. It's before everything.
Yeah, it's about zombies, right?
Sorry, who's writing that? Sorry,
George Romero, the creator of Night of the Living Dead.
Okay, all right, yeah, zombies. Oh my God, you know, being exposed to so much, I'm always a bit wary of reading anything like that because it actually freaks me out. You know, reading anything of that nature, I just can't stomach it. I'm afraid.
Let me say one thing in closing. When I was sick and going through my treatment and stuff, and all my encounters started, I said a prayer that I wanted to be a superhero when I was 17, dying from cancer. And I must say, that's when a lot of my experiences started with UFOs and stuff like that. And I must say, your story, definitely, you are like the superhero out of a comic with this stuff. And I definitely believe there's truth to it. And I hope one day that people who are going through all this, that justice is served to these organizations that are abusing and using people, whoever they are, across the earth. Because we're Mavis, and we're coming for you, buddy.
Yeah, damn right, mate. Yeah, it's corruption at the highest level. It really is, and they've covered their tracks very well. It's unprovable. They're very clever people, and what they did to me is absolutely unprovable. But words cannot describe the horror and the brutality of what the technology they were using. It's absolutely frightening. It really is, and. I just don't know where it's all leading, you know. I really don't. I'm quite prepared to go before my parliament. Sorry, I'm quite prepared to go.